Having your 50th podcast. $0. Having Dr. Venkman host. $0. Abe Froman, Root Mazer, Bob Neek, and Mr. Black joining him. $0. Being able to discuss movies with people who understand you. Priceless. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's Geek Tyrant Weekly.
Well, this weekend was Halloween.
Halloween weekend. Halloween weekend.
Oh, it's not Halloween weekend anymore.
Halloween weekend?
Good, sir. Halloween has passed, and the box office numbers for the weekend of Halloween are as follows. Number one, non-Halloween movie, Michael Jackson's This Is It.
Could be a Halloween movie. Yeah. You can look at it as a Halloween.
Yeah,
movie.
You definitely look at it as a Halloween.
He does look like, he does look like a ghost.
He's a zombie ghost?
Okay.
I always thought he was Skeletor.
Who could dance.
Exactly.
This could be debated.
This could.
Who here has seen it? I've only talked to people who've seen it.
I've heard about it.
Everyone I've talked to about it, stoked. Yeah. Right? And at the same time, they're sad that the concert isn't going to happen. For obvious reasons.
Yeah, but it was sold out while he was still rehearsing, so yeah. All of us talking here who would have been excited for it would have not been able to get in.
Wait. What do you mean we're not going to be able to go to the concert?
Did you not hear?
I need to break it. Yeah.
So that made $21.3 million. Number two at the box office, Paranormal Activity is still hanging in there. It's $16.5 million. So far, it's made a good 84.7. People are still going to see this movie.
I think it's the most profitable movie ever made now, I believe, with its $11,000 budget.
Percentage-wise.
And they just rolled out almost 460 more theaters.
Yeah, it's insane. And not only are people going to see it again, they're taking the reason why they're seeing it again is to take their friends, not to be scared themselves, but to watch their friends be scared. So people are going to this movie 2, 3, 4 times, taking different people to it. So that's part of its success as well.
That'd be kind of cool, just kind of usher people in. It's like, oh, you peed your pants this time? Me too, the first time. You know?
I just love looking at, because we're looking at it on Box Office Mojo, just looking at the budgets of everyone. It's like a dollar sign in like 50, 70, 11, 100. But for Paranormal Activity, it's 0.015.
For those of you who don't know, that's $15,000.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Number three this week, Law Abiding Citizen.
That's
$7.3 million. It is hanging in there. Still have not seen it yet.
Is it good?
It must be because
I've heard it's good. I know people that I know that have seen it.
It's not
enjoy it.
As far as its drop, it hasn't dropped that much.
It's not gonna win an Academy Award.
It's probably just solid.
It's probably an entertaining action flick.
And there's really not much else
with
out
lots
there.
Of crazy torturing and killing and all kinds of other things with Jamie Foxx and Gerard Butler. Okay, number four, Couples Retreat hanging in the top five at $6 million. So Saw 6 came in number five this week at $5.5 million. It was number two last week, and has since dropped down to number five, Paranormal Activity, taking its place at the number two spot.
What I'm happy about is this Saw film is just dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still profitable, but... No one's seeing it, so I hope it just means, like...
Did Paranormal Activity steal its thunder?
I don't think so.
Are people just tired?
I think people are just tired.
I think it's just done.
It just farted on its own thunder.
Seriously, yep. When it first came out, it was a kind of a new thing, but now it's just been done to death. I mean, granted, they come up with new torture devices and new ways.
You see this with every horror franchise.
But
right?
Look,
they get burned out after a while.
Just because it's not doing well doesn't mean we're not going to get any more.
No, I'm sure we
Simply
will.
Simply for the fact the movie's budget was $11 million.
Which is one more.
It's made $22 million since it's come out, so it's doubled its profit.
They always budget 10 for every single of their
films. Exactly.
They added an additional million.
So they're making money off it. They're already making a profit, which means we're going to see more. So,
well,
hooray for Saw.
Yeah, people love grabbing those kinds of films at Blockbuster and renting them.
That was wrong wording. Number six, Where the Wild Things Are, hanging in there, $5 million. Number seven.
Wait, Where the Wild Things Are, that's the biggest drop of the top weekend earners.
It's been out 3 weeks.
Well, almost as...
I think I'll be excited saw it already, and now they're...
I mean, Couples Retreat's been out longer, so is Law Abiding Citizen, and they're number four and five.
Three and four. I think there's just a select group of people excited for Where the Wild Things Are, and now that they've seen it...
It's actually funny.
I don't think there's any more of an audience. I'm surprised how many people out there haven't even heard of the book. Yeah. Every day, I'll talk to someone that hasn't heard of the book. And I'm just shocked.
They know the movie now, though.
Whatever. Yeah, they know the movie now.
Of the movie, at least.
I think it's funny. My sister's a school teacher, and she's saying that all of her kids that in her class are too scared to see the movie because they think the monsters are scary.
Well, they are
seniors
rails.
In high school.
Yeah.
What grade are they?
They're like elementary school kids, but it's kind of funny because apparently they never read the book.
Well, then it's up to their parents if they're going to take them or not. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Benjamin took his kids, and they're all really young.
They like it.
I'm worried with the film because it cost $100 million to make, and so far domestically it's only brought in about 61.
So worldwide it'll probably break even, right?
Worldwide it'll probably break even. But
do you think they read that book in other countries?
I mean, the art's
good.
We read books from other countries here.
That's true.
It's mixed.
Mixed.
Yeah, it's mixed reviews.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know people that haven't liked it, and I know people that have loved it. It's either you hate it or you absolutely love it.
I've actually known a couple of people that thought it was okay. They didn't love it, they didn't hate it, they just thought it was an okay movie.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, Sandy Collera sent us his own little review of it, right?
Yeah, he did. Kind of a review, kind of a...
Just a love letter. A love letter to Where the Wild Things Are.
Well, the guy who wrote the book, didn't he say that this was like the definitive, film version or something?
Well, to
that
effect? The definitive and only. So yes.
And only version. That'll line my pockets with cash. So either way, I think he'd be saying that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I like the movie, so.
So number seven this week, The Stepfather, 3.4. Does anybody care? Probably not.
No.
Number eight this week, Astro Boy, still not doing anything.
I want to see this, but I'm not going to see it in theaters.
$3 million.
I just want,
Sorry, Imagi. You should have picked a better story to make spend all that money on.
Or you should have released it at a different time.
Yeah.
Although that would be a good early summer movie.
Or better marketing.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, they blitzed, and then the film wasn't released, and then the film got released with no blitz.
You gotta know when to blitz. You gotta know when to not blitz. You gotta know when to blitz and the blitz.
Well, we'll talk about more marketing stuff later, but
because that's what we do here at Geek Tyrant. Talk about marketing.
Well,
stuff.
We'll talk about Avatar's approach and other films' approach. So.
And then we've got the poor little Amelia Earhart, who is number nine this week. Such a tragedy as she disappeared over the Atlantic.
In the box office.
She disappeared.
Hey-o.
Too soon?
Too soon.
It's not.
Too soon.
A little late.
We're a different century. We're cool.
The studio knows where it's going to get its money from. It's going to get money when it gets nominated for an Oscar.
No, hopefully. That's what they're hoping for. I don't think it's going to be nominated for an Oscar. There's no hype surrounding the film at all.
Yeah.
There's none.
Did anybody here see it?
No.
You did, Mr. Black. So how did you feel about Amelia?
I did not.
Mr. Black thinks Hilary Swank is a sexy.
See, and they get all these Academy Award...
And Richard Gere is a
they get all these Academy Award winners and nominations.
And airplanes.
And all this stuff, you know. And then they put him in this movie... You know, thinking, oh, it's Amelia Earhart. The story is Academy Award worthy.
It has the
we
right
got
cast.
Academy Award actors.
Do you know what's funny? Yeah, it looks like they were trying to make this an Academy Award.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like if they fit it to the formula. It's a biopic of this mysterious event.
This movie's been out 2 weeks. They spent $40 million on the budget, and it's dropping rapidly at the box office, and it's only made $8 million.
I haven't been on the History Channel. When this was coming out, were they talking about Amelia Earhart?
No. I watch History Channel all the time, and usually when something like this happens, you know, when a biopic comes out, the History Channel automatically coincides with that and plays relentlessly tons of documentaries
to get you excited about whatever movie's coming out.
But they didn't do that, and I found that interesting. Well, maybe the studio pays the History Channel to do these things.
Well, they usually sponsor those shows.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe they didn't want to sponsor those shows for some reason. I don't know.
It sucks.
I don't.
They just want to get it out there.
So is our main conclusion that the movie just isn't that good, so they're not pushing it?
Well, none of us have seen it, so we can't really say whether it's good or not. But from what we're hearing, it sounds like nobody's liking it.
From what I've seen of the trailer,
it looks like crap.
Well, it
the 5 seconds of footage they showed. Yeah.
It doesn't. There's no.
It didn't grab me to where I was like, I've got to see this movie now, right?
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, so
I think that's just been the movie's last couple weeks.
There's been nothing. We haven't
been in the movies, people.
This is weird. I haven't been in the movies in like 2 weeks.
I've been playing video games.
Kind of weird.
I've been watching TV.
Yeah.
I've been eating.
I've been watching
in my
DVDs. You know.
So. Well, December is going to be.
Yeah, December's coming up, and we got some really good... Well, and November, we got some good movies coming out this week, so...
Okay, we can talk about that. Number 10?
Number 10 this week is Cirque du Freak de Vampires Assistant.
That was
horrible.
Can we all give our tries?
French Canadian?
Let's try to give up our most jacked up pronunciations of Cirque du Freak. Kirk de Frick de Vampire Ticketers.
I'm not even trying to.
That made $2.8 million, no one saw it, and so we don't really need to talk about it anymore. Okay, bye.
That's that chef from Sesame Street.
Swedish chef.
Okay, so that was your top 10 for this weekend, this Halloween weekend, 31st and the 1st and the 30th.
The 31st, the 1st, and the 30th.
I did that all backwards. See what I did there?
Countdown. Due to its ultra-limited release in two, count them, one and two theaters.
Nationwide.
Jill and Bronco has brought in about 10 grand.
So five
which
grand
is actually
each.
A really good per-theater average. Which means...
Yeah, it means the following it does have. This is Jared Hess's new comedy. It's the director who directed... Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre.
The director who directed.
The Helmer, the auteur behind Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre. But this is the new film he wrote with his wife, Jerusha, who's always his writing partner. And me and Mr. Black got to watch this a couple weeks ago. And what did you think, Mr. Black? How did you like the film?
I'm going to be honest.
We would expect nothing less from
you.
How
about this? Just be honest, and you don't have to precursor it with saying you're going to be honest. Thanks. Just be honest in the first place. Continue.
Anyways.
So this is what you do.
Hear me out. I'm honestly not a big fan of Jared Hess's movies. I don't think they're horrible. I don't think they're as great as a lot of people say they are.
The two movies that he's made.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Just have you seen them multiple times? These movies.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, because that's why I end up loving these films.
But that being said, you know, I may not be a big fan, but there are things in this movie that are really, really liked. It's almost like it kind of has this really almost homemade kind of a feel to this movie.
Which a lot of it.
I know a lot of his movies have, but this one for some reason had it a bit more. I felt I loved Sam Rockwell's performances. Notice how I said performances.
Why would you say that? I haven't seen the movie yet. Now are you saying that he has multiple roles in the
movie?
Well,
you see it in the trailer. the main character, he writes a book. They depict his version of the novel, the original concept of it. It's already written. The original concept of it, they show his point of view. Then they show Ronald Chevalier, who plagiarizes it. They show his bastardized version. And then also they show a lo-fi version that this kid named Lonnie, who makes, like, he's made 80 films, mostly trailers, they show his lo-fi version of it as well. So there's three different...
Why do they show this lo-fi version?
Because
it's because they made that first.
Well, he's filming the lo-fi version. So it's all going at once. It never covers the same events. It's all like, you know, one story, but it covers different events. It's told really well.
That's one thing I did really, really, really like about this film is those like storytelling devices that that Jared Hess used in the kid's imagination, well, Chevalier's imagination of the film, or of the,
well, the way
of the story.
The way he changes it in the book.
The actual little lo-fi movie that they did. I mean, all of those things are really, really liked that they incorporated into the film and the way they did it to tell the story. To tell, well, technically both stories, the one in the book and the one of the kid.
Yeah.
And I think all of the actors in this are perfect for these roles.
Yeah, it's
absolutely perfect for these roles.
It sounds like you like the film, but why did you say you didn't?
Because for me, it's not the kind of movie that I would kind of go out and see on my own. And it's not the kind of movie I have no interest to see this ever again. I more appreciate how he did the movie and what he did in the movie as opposed to liking the film. I don't know if that makes sense.
So you don't like the film because of your own preconceptions or your own...
No, I like that the actors fit the acting or the characters, but I didn't like the characters. I didn't like the story was a little slow and boring for me, but it fits what he's trying to do, so I can appreciate that.
That's kind of more the tone. That's kind of the style.
I know that's the style.
Wes Anderson kind of school.
But I'm not really a fan of that.
So you said you didn't you liked the actors who were picked for the characters. So were the characters not well written?
They're written... No, it's a choice thing. It's like a personal preference
thing. It's a choice thing. It's all up to choice.
It's a personal preference thing. Like, I think it's perfect for what he's trying to do, but I don't... It's not something I like.
So your thing, your problem is you would have imagined it differently.
No, you just...
No,
it's just not his type
of
film.
You're not getting...
Ultimately, it's just not his thing.
It's not my thing, but it works for what he's trying to do, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
He appreciates like
I appreciate it, but I don't necessarily like it.
If some guy picked a fight with Mr. Black in a bar and just whooped his butt, all like, you know, just used the most awesome martial arts, he's like, I didn't appreciate you kicking my ass, but the way you did it was amazing.
Beautiful.
I guess
the moves you pulled to whoop my ass,
which you were going for, worked.
I mean, midway through you punching him in the face, I wanted to say, did you do that? Did you see that?
So Abe,
You know what? There's more laughs in it than his previous films. I don't know. It's not as classic a feel as Napoleon Dynamite or Nacho Libre, but I've only seen it once, so it's hard for me to judge his films on one viewing. But I laugh my butt off. I think all the characters, you know, as unlikable as they are, you see sides of them and you see how funny they are. You end up liking them anyway. So it's very well done, and yeah. You're going to laugh, but the one thing I didn't like was how much gross-out humor was in it. There's like, three scenes that involve feces, two that involve, like...
Vomiting.
A lot of vomiting, but...
But the vomit was kind of funny.
In the sci-fi vomiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember from Nacho Libre that the music... I love the music in
the
it.
The soundtrack is awesome. There's songs that get stuck in your head. That you just, like, you have to go back, and you'll want to
the
soundtrack.
Yeah, I will say, the soundtrack fits the movie perfectly. He picked all the right songs.
In the year 2525.
That one is beyond perfect for the movie.
Yeah, that's kind of the theme song. It kind of bookends the film. So,
cool.
It's good. I recommend you go see it when it opens up wide. When it opens up wider than two theaters.
And then Mr. Black is saying, if it's your deal, you'll like it?
You know, if you liked... Napoleon Dynamite or Nacho Libre, then you'll love this film. If you're a fan of, like, cheesy 70s science fiction, you'll absolutely love this film.
See, that's, well, like, in...
Because it kind of satires a lot of that, so it's really... Because
you're not
good.
A fan of Tarantino either, but you love Inglourious Basterds. You thought it was really...
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, is it in the same... It kind of changed your mind on this, or you still don't think Jared Hess is your cup of tea?
Would you give his next film a try?
Yeah.
Well, I give all of his films a try, but... I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm a fan of his.
Okay. I'm the same way with, like, Tony Scott. Like, I'll
exactly,
watch
yeah.
I'll watch his films, but I'm not gonna... I don't feel like I have to.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of
I feel the same way about Tyler Perry. It's like...
That's not what you told me the other day.
Yeah. I'll watch his films, but...
Why do you have,
I'll watch
why
his
you
films,
have them all on Blu-ray,
I'll see it midnight showing, I'll buy his merchandise, I'll buy it on DVD and Blu-ray.
But I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of his. I have, like, three of his autographs, all on my
but
skin.
It was super cheap. It was super cheap, and it was on eBay.
The last couple weeks, we've had hardly any good movies really hitting the theaters. Like we said earlier, I mean, I haven't been to the movies in a couple weeks now because nothing is interesting.
I haven't been since Where the Wild Things Are.
I can't even remember the last movie.
I just realized I missed Toy Story. I'm going to cry.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, dang. Did you see that?
No, I missed it.
We missed it, guys.
It was good. Just watch it again on DVD.
No, it's not the same.
how long has it been since you guys have seen
it? You want to see Intermission?
It's been a long time. It's been a while.
Go back because you will appreciate how good that writing is.
Like I'm gonna bring it back to an episode of Full House, okay? When
I don't know.
When the ice cream man comes, right? You right. want to get the ice cream from the ice cream man,
right?
Let's say you have that same ice cream bar in the freezer. Okay. You're not gonna get it from the freezer. Okay. You want to get it from the ice cream man, right? That's the fact.
We'll have Disney set up a special screening for you.
The ice cream man screening.
Ice cream man screening.
Anyway, next week we've got a good amount of new movies coming out. The weekend of November 6th, we've got The Box.
This is a channel on basic cable, right?
This is a true story, isn't it?
You can call.
Yeah, The Box. It's from Richard Kelly, who did Donnie Darko and Southland Tales.
Southland Tales. Have you seen Southland Tales, by the way?
I haven't seen it yet.
All right.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I don't know. It did terrible at the box office. It made like $2 million or something. I don't know. It did absolutely horrible.
Didn't Donnie Darko do pretty bad at the box office?
Well,
too,
yeah.
Though?
It did, but then on DVD.
But it got
on
a cult
DVD,
following.
Yeah.
But Southland Tales doesn't
really
seem to
well
have a
England.
Cult following either. So.
Yeah.
But I kind of enjoy Southland Tales. Anyway, The Box, his next film is coming up. It's got James Marsden. And that blonde chick that
Cameron.
Was in The Mask.
Cameron Diaz.
Honestly, it's not the same girl anymore, man. You compare the two, you're like, she used to be so hot.
She had a body transplant.
Yeah, seriously. But Frank Langella looks crazy creepy in that movie.
Yeah, it's like...
Looks good.
I think it's going to be good. I don't feel like I have to rush out and see this. I do want to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I
want to
see what the story is, because I feel like...
Well, it looks interesting.
Well, Venkman and I were watching a little TV spot for yesterday. We're like... Wouldn't it just be awesome if Cameron Diaz was not in that movie? Like, let's say, same movie, just put Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, exactly.
Place. I'd rush out and go
there
see
you
that.
Go.
You know?
Much better film right off the bat.
Bam.
Switch out the two actresses, and people will go see the movie.
Granted, Malin Ackerman is the hotter, younger version of Cameron Diaz, but just as bad an actress.
So.
I like the story. I think it's a great concept.
Yeah.
The Twilight Zone episode,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, President Nixon comes to your house with a box. That's awesome.
And offers you money.
His face is gone for some reason.
Well, he is dead.
I don't have a face.
Also coming out this next week, Disney's A Christmas Carol.
Bah! Oh,
nothing.
Okay. Yeah,
I want to see it. I don't know.
I want to see it. I think it looks good.
And,
I'm excited.
As far as I can tell from the trailers, it just looks like this like Christmas Carol like ride. It seems like he's put in all these situations where they fully use the 3D to make it this adventure type of thing.
They installed seatbelts in the theater.
What I like about this one is it looks like an animated film. It's not trying to be all super hyper realistic. It actually looks like it's going to be a fun animated film.
Yeah, it's still got the detail to where
it's got
to
the detail
grotesque amount, but
it's got the detail, but it's not to that creepy realism that what's it called had.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's
you know
it called?
Yeah, what's
that,
it called?
That movie with the train.
Polar Express. Polar Express was interesting. I think other than the eyes, it was very beautiful. I mean, they used the technology
and
to
then,
make it look
yeah.
painterly.
And I know it's a different kind of story. Like, they were trying to go for more of a magical kind of feel with Polar Express. But with this, I like that it's more of a fun animated film, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. I hope
I'm just
it
interested
is.
To see Jim Carrey's performance as him at five, as Scrooge at five different ages and playing...
Three other characters.
Three of the... All the
ghosts.
All the ghosts.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
It should be cool to see how he does that. But honestly, it's like, just watching the trailer, I see Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
in the trailer.
That's
I don't,
true.
You know, I just see him.
Yeah. But when you
yeah,
really look
CG.
At the face, it's not him, but it
yeah,
is him. It's,
exactly.
I love how they do that.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a good classic Christmas
movie. Well, they
kind of
did the same thing with Tom Hanks.
I'm a big fan
right? They
kind
of put their features
yeah.
in there.
I'm kind of a big fan of A Christmas Carol. I've enjoyed watching all of the films that have been made on it, and this is something we've never seen before. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Also coming out this week... is The Fourth Kind.
which I think is interesting now in the wake of Paranormal Activity.
I'm wondering how is that going to work. Exactly.
Because it's probably almost what they would have done had they remade it, where they...
Exactly. But this is obviously is like, you know...
Real tapes.
Yeah. Well, they're mixing it.
Is it, though?
Real tapes with recreated
mixed
tapes.
Yeah, there's...
I don't know. Mixed tapes?
Mixed tapes.
You know, the opening of the trailer...
We don't know if that's in the movie.
What?
We don't know if they put the actual footage in there. I don't think they do.
I think they do. They marketed it as being part of it.
Maybe that's just in the marketing. Because
they tried to grab actors and actresses that look like the real people. Because Mila
quote
actually...
Quote-unquote real people.
Because Mila looks like a little bit like the girl.
Who's... Yeah, how can you tell? Unquote. Because the girl has her face blocked out in the trailer.
And she talks like this. And I don't know what happened.
That's how Mila
talks. I was standing there.
Hey, you guys remember when Mila Jovovich was French?
French?
All of a sudden, not. Well, she got rid of her accent.
She's Russian.
Or Russian. French-Russian.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, she's done a great job with her career so far. I mean, obviously, she hasn't done, like, a great Oscar-winning performance, but
Tell that to Ultraviolet, you know what I'm saying?
Well, as far as Well, I blame the director on that one. But every role you like, the perfect getaway. That was a great film.
Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, you believe her physicality when it comes to these action films.
I'd love to believe her physicality.
Yeah, which is it doesn't just because a girl is hot or something. It doesn't always work. Like you see, like Halle Berry in Catwoman, you just don't believe she's really doing any of that.
Well, what did you really believe her in?
That's true.
Storm. No.
Yeah. Sometimes when a girl is so good looking, it's off putting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially for certain roles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you say so. Anyway.
If you insist.
If you insist. Lies.
So, Fourth Kind coming out. Looks interesting. I think I'm interested in checking it out.
I still want to see it.
I bought my ticket. Didn't see it.
It's true, right?
Yeah, it sucks.
That's right.
The dude was in town.
Yeah, the dude was in town. We had tickets to go see it. We ditched it, the screen, and to go hang out with the dude before he shipped out to Afghanistan.
Before he defended our country.
Good luck, dude.
Good luck, dude.
There's a movie that's been out in limited release called Precious. And this movie is opening wide. It's expanding from now until it's just going to roll out. Movie theaters as it keeps going. I haven't seen this movie, but it premiered at Sundance, and I think it won the Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival, and it's been winning film festival awards since it's been coming out. And this movie is supposed to be it looks incredibly freaking depressing, but the buzz on this film is so big that people are saying that this could be an Oscar contender this year. So this film was I think produced by Oprah Winfrey.
Do you have to say Winfrey?
I don't, do you?
I don't think you do.
Say Oprah.
Produced by the Oprah.
It was produced by the Oprah.
Or the Majesty.
The Majesty, the O.
Queen feminist of the world.
The movie takes place in 1987 Harlem, and it's about a young 16-year-old girl by the name of...
Precious.
Clarice Precious Jones. She is in this world, this hardcore ghetto world, and it's about her dealing with this, I guess, this life she was just dealt with.
What do you mean, you people?
Shh. Did I say you people?
No.
I'm like, I swear I didn't say that. But anyway, she's... In the movie, starts out with her where she's pregnant for the second time with her dad's kid. So her dad impregnated her twice at her home, and she's dealing with this life. She's in high school, pregnant with her dad's
baby. That's pretty jacked up.
Right?
Yeah, that is deep.
Right? I'm telling you, this movie sounds like it's incredibly
heavy. Some heavy stuff.
Yeah. Count me out. But continue.
Okay, just from looking from the trailer, just looking at the tone of this film, it is so serious, and it's trying to portray it in such a way that you are trying to get the most honest look at this person's life who's in this ridiculous circumstance.
Exactly, and her mom doesn't help the situation either, because if you've seen it, watch the trailer, her mom is totally just pounding down on her, bringing her daughter down, and just crushing her.
Played by Monique.
And she's a comedian.
Who's a comedian.
And apparently her performance is insane. Her and Mariah Carey, the singer, apparently have really good performances.
Yeah.
Wait. Mariah Carey's in this?
Yeah. Yeah. Haven't you seen the trailer?
I have not.
Yeah. And Lenny Kravitz is in there for comic relief, right?
She looks... Everybody that's in this film looks like they do an outstanding job acting in it. I mean, this movie looks like an all-around solid film. One of these films that you just know needs to be made, that people need to go out and see. It's
hard for me to... I don't watch these films. I'm not attracted to these heavy films. Like, I watch the trailer for The Reader, and I was like, okay, I'm not watching that. I watched the trailer for this, and I'm like, I'm not watching that.
Was good, though.
It's good?
You gotta give a little plot point that kind of makes this even crazier. The fact that she's in ninth grade, and she gets good marks, but she can't read or write.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Now, this is based on a novel.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's based on a true story. I hope not, but it would be...
But there are stories like it this, happens, yeah. This, unfortunately, does happen.
We're looking at the poster right now, and I just love the marketing for it. I think they obviously know that they have a good film here, and they're handling it very well.
Yeah, I agree.
Who directed this?
Lee Daniels.
Gail
directed it. See, also coming out this week, The Men Who Stare at Goats. Yes. Now, this is a film I've really been looking forward to. It's starring George Clooney, Ewan McGregor, Kevin Spacey, Jeff Bridges.
The dude!
The other dude.
You know?
Terry Serpico.
Goats.
Yeah.
It's got goat in it.
It's got goat in it.
This movie is actually based on true events. Yeah.
Based on a book.
Yeah, based on true events.
Yeah, true events based on actual events that happened. Actual events are... things that took place years ago.
About Earth's...
in reality.
First Italian? Battalion.
Yeah, the Earth...
First Earth Battalion, I think.
Yeah, First Earth Battalion, something like that.
Yeah, but this is actually... I don't know if it still is, but this actually was a...
Up until 95.
Okay.
They closed it. It was around for 20 years. You know what is interesting is, like, they're like, we sounded crazy and stuff like that, but it's like... The big thing was... If we don't try this, how do we know that it's not possible? If we don't try to read the enemy's mind, how do we know that it is not possible to?
Exactly.
If we don't search the world and try to find out if certain ideas, as far-fetched as they are, actually work. And I think the cool thing with Men at Stare at Goats is we run across a character who actually does these things for real.
Exactly.
As far-fetched as they are.
And I think that's what's so intriguing about it is that I've heard these stories before the movie came out about this government, you know, the super soldier,
the MK Ultra,
and seeing that they actually made a movie based on this stuff intrigues me.
On what they can find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Did you watch the little documentary?
Yeah, that was really interesting.
If you haven't seen that behind-the-scenes documentary, it's awesome. They go in. It's on the site.
What do they search for? Men at Stare at Goats.
Just do a Men at Stare at Goats search, and you'll find it. But it goes through, and they talk to the actual soldiers that were involved with this project, and they interview them, and they say how it all got started and what they did, what their goals were, and it's really interesting.
They actually have an interview with a guy who's Jeff Bridges' character, which is weird. You're like, wait, so who's... I don't know, it's really cool.
Yeah, so you definitely check it out. But this is a movie I'm really looking forward to.
It looks
fun. It was screened at the film festivals a few months ago, and reviews are mixed. It's getting mixed reviews right now. I still want to see it. I'm not going to judge it until I actually see it for myself, because... I really want to.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it looks
really good.
From what I've seen in the trailer, it looks
advertised as a comedy, and sometimes these films, they have a different tone when you're actually watching it. So, I hope it's an actual comedy. If it is, then we'll be good.
Well, it's described as a dark comedy.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're gonna get your comedy.
Like Fight Club. That's a great dark comedy.
Yes. And those are the big movies that are opening up this week. So make sure you go to the theaters and check those out. Or, you know, obviously you're probably not going to see all of them, but pick and choose the ones you want to see. My number one pick for this week would be The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah.